Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track. And let's see, one side of the coin, John, is we play football at SoFi Stadium this year. Other side of the coin, we go to some weird biosphere and play in a cornfield in Nebraska. Call it in the air.
I think it's heads. I think they are going to play at SoFi Stadium, but I don't think there'll be any fans there. So I'll go heads.
We're playing ball at SoFi Stadium, heads.
Beautiful. Punch.
Fast Track.
All right, Mace. Sports Illustrated's Grant Wall, who previously last week criticized his bosses, Maven and its CEO James Heckman, tweeted on Friday that he's been fired without severance. In his initial criticism, Wall wrote this. He put this out on Twitter. Thankful to have a job, but the people who were laid off from SI this week at least got a good severance package. If we're laid off after July 1st, we get absolutely nothing. Plus, Maven has already decreased my salary by 30% and is trying to make that permanent beyond the pandemic, which is shameful. Who would take advantage of a pandemic to permanently reduce someone's salary beyond the pandemic? Maven and James Heckman would. Not surprisingly, his bosses didn't like that, so they fired him. But in an unusual move, they wrote a memo to the staff explaining exactly why they fired Wall. In the memo, it read, "Every senior staff member volunteered to put their personal budgeted future at risk to save jobs and ensure stable salaries for those making less. Everyone, that is, but one person. This person made more than $350,000 last year to infrequently write stories that generated little meaningful viewership or revenue. Yet he trumpeted that he thought it shameful to be asked to participate in helping his fellow workers. To complain about a personal pay reduction when 21 others had just lost their jobs is incomprehensible." Now, these scenarios are playing out in companies all over America. And Maven, to be honest, has been gutting Sports Illustrated even before the pandemic.
Yeah, they have.
But who looks worse here? Wall, the writer, or Beckman, the boss?
The writer does not look good at all. You cannot complain about taking a salary cut when other people's jobs are disappearing. At the same time, Sports Illustrated looks bad for using this tragedy as a way to reduce somebody's salary permanently. Like, I understand taking a pay cut for the short term, but taking a pay cut for the long term is a different thing. This sounds opportunistic for the company. So I think actually both parties look bad. Initially, it's the writer that looks bad, but ultimately I think the company looks bad as well. What do you think?
I actually think the writer made a mistake. It's a really bad time to bite the hand that feeds you because companies are just looking to eliminate expenses. So I think he made a mistake, but I don't know why you call this guy out publicly. You tell everybody what his salary was. You claim he infrequently writes stories. I wouldn't want to work for these guys. What do you think, Lindsay? Who looks worse?
Well, I was going to say, you know what's weird is that they've been doing this slew of like layoffs and rearrangements and whatever you want to call it, but they're also hiring people. Like, I personally know like three or four people that recently got hired to full-time positions within the past 2 weeks.
Really?
At Sports Illustrated. Yeah. For like full-time, like one of them was, one is a social media job and it's
Yeah, they hired Pat Forty, who used to be at ESPN, and
Pat's
a really good writer.
Yeah, Pat, and I mean, Pat got hired there before the coronavirus thing, all of this stuff started, but I know people that literally signed a contract or a job offer within the past like 10 days. So I think it's really weird that a company is trying to defend themselves for, you know, they're trying to defend a move that they made based on the writer's reactions, because at the end of the day, he did make the company look terrible on social media. And obviously he did that well knowing what he was getting himself into, but it's just weird to me that, you know, they want him to take a salary cut, but yet they're hiring people elsewhere, and then they're firing people. The whole thing just doesn't make sense to me.
Right. Well, to go back to the original question, who looks worse? Grant Wall is a good writer, and I think his writing is eventually going to speak for itself. I think he'll get an opportunity to go to someplace. He primarily writes about soccer, which is an international game, and the World Cup's coming in 2022. There's some rumors that Qatar may lose the World Cup, and it may even end up in America. I think Grant Wall will land on his feet because of his talent. But I think the answer to my question of who looks worse, Maven and this guy, Beckman, I just don't imagine anyone's going to want to write for these guys knowing the way they treat people. I think the company comes off worse here. Funch?
Fast track.
All right, church goers in Wisconsin never got out of their cars on Easter Sunday. Instead, they congregated in the parking lot and listened to the service over FM radio, honking their horns and blinking their lights during various parts of the service. The COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic has halted most public and private gatherings, but Wisconsin Governor Tony Evers permitted drive-up Easter services. He said it was very well attended with over 100 cars in the parking lot. I think it went better than I anticipated. We had tremendous turnout and people seemed really excited. He believes that people felt just as fulfilled from the drive-in service as if they had been in a normal service. John, would you be more likely to attend church services if you could stay in your car and not worry about getting dressed up?
Yes. I would probably still get a little dressed up because you're going to see other people, but I wouldn't wear sweats, which is basically what I wear every day now. But sure, I think any type of communal experience right now would be welcomed. If all of us like got in our cars and met in a parking lot and just sat outside our cars and did like a social distancing happy hour, I think I would enjoy it. Yeah, my answer to your question is yes. Would you?
Yeah, we used to actually do mass at our drive-in. In fact, we went to the drive-in a lot when I was a kid. They would have three features. So you pay, I don't know what it was, $12 a carload. You have three features. We as little kids all wore our pajamas. They had a little playground you could play in beforehand. We'd sit and we'd watch three consecutive movies and sleep a little bit. And then at 5 o'clock, they had 5 o'clock mass and you would just stay there in your car, in your pajamas and take part in mass on that same little FM radio system that you listen to the movies on. I think it's a great idea. I mean, a lot of people, it's a big deal to get dressed up on Easter Sunday,
right?
Or on any particular Sunday. You've got to look great when you go to church. This is a way to sort of democratize that. If you don't want to get dressed up, or if you can't compete with the neighbors for their dressing up, why not just do it from your car? I think it might be something.
You know what's interesting is, remember I had a fast track story right at the beginning of the coronavirus where there were two or three drive-in theaters around Southern California that had seen a big uptick in business because people, you know, the regular theaters weren't open, but the drive-ins still were. Then when they canceled all non-essential businesses and told them they were they had to shut down, that included the drive-ins. They made the drive-ins shut down. I think they should let some of those drive-ins open back up. Maybe I'd have to ask medical people to see what the risk would be. But, and you know, some of this is going to be political. Like, for example, did you see that WWE was deemed essential in Florida?
Yes.
So when sports comes back, like our governor, Gavin Newsom, has been pretty strict. Like he's already issued a stay-at-home shelter order until May 15th. In Florida, where there is the governor there is a Donald Trump disciple, he may let sports come back there where in other states won't. So you might, you know, some of this is going to be political. What governors will allow businesses to reopen? So the drive-ins may fall into that, to get your original question. They may be allowed to come back.
What's crazy about it is science is not political. There is no left or right to science.
But science isn't political, but politics are. And so that's how you get WWE deemed essential in Florida. A very right-wing governor that wants to keep Trump happy.
But here's the thing. WWE, as long as they have testing, it should be able to come back. As long as there's testing.
But you can't argue it's essential.
Yeah, but I think the biggest issue is, originally they had pre-taped a bunch of episodes to get them through like the end of May. And then due to, you know, worries about their TV contract and being able to fulfill their TV contract obligations, Vince McMahon decided last week, we're going to scrap all those that are pre-taped and we're going to start going live again because we are only supposed to air 3 taped shows per, I think it's per year. So they announced a couple days ago that they were going to go back to taping live shows. And these WWE superstars do not all live in Florida. They all live around the country, and they have, that requires them to travel there or, you know, leave their family, whatever the case may be. And the reason that they're allowed to do it is because Trump has, like, direct ties with the McMahon family, the owner of WWE. Trump's in, like, the WWE Hall of Fame.
Trump used to go be part of their bits.
But yeah, isn't there testing? Aren't they testing all these people?
Yeah, and you know what? They just also announced over the weekend that one of their employees tested positive for coronavirus. So,
well, I would assume that person is excluded from this event.
Sure, that person's been quarantined, but again, it just goes to show you that, like, you know, they still haven't, like, perfected that rapid test. So if these people are flying and traveling, it could very easily spread and one of them could get it. And I just think all these things that we've been talking about with sports coming back and teams and all these precautions you need to take, it doesn't seem like they're taking any of those.
But the PGA is coming back on June the 11th.
Yeah, but that doesn't require people to have direct contact with, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6 people literally, you know, putting their bodies on top of each other and sweating and bleeding.
The WWE thing seems weird to me.
Yesterday, everyone pointed out the fact that Vince McMahon's wife, Linda McMahon, paid, like, she committed a huge amount of money to Donald Trump's campaign, like, reelection campaign. And,
yeah, I think she was a Republican governor back east somewhere.
Yeah, so it's just, it's all like a big shady deal, if you ask me. And it's like completely turned me off to it right now.
Wow.
Yeah, you're a big wrestling fan.
Fast track.
All right, Mace. This, all you guys can weigh in on this one. And this is a weird one. Everyone be careful.
Okay.
The website Pornhub, which is the nation's leading pornography site.
Never heard of it. Don't know where it is. Wouldn't even know where to find it.
Put out a map over the weekend.
Okay.
Of the most searched for terms on their site.
Oh, my God. You're going to read these?
Yeah. In each state. Well, I can't read all of them. Some of them I can't read on the radio. Okay. But others are interesting, to say the least. Let's see if we can figure out or make sense out of some of these.
Okay.
You know, like, okay, in Montana, the number one searched word on Pornhub is librarian.
I get that one. That's sort of the hot librarian scenario where she's wearing glasses she's got her hair up in a bun, and all of a sudden she takes her glasses off. She shakes.
And do they get it on in the library?
Yeah, I think they do. Right between the stacks. That's
okay.
Sexy librarian. She was always sexy. She had glasses and her hair up, but you remove the glasses and you shake your hair, and all of a sudden you're a sexy librarian.
Okay.
That's my guess.
Okay. You may be onto something there. I didn't think of that. All right. I'm only going to do 4 states because most of these states I can't read.
They're filthy.
Yeah. In Florida, the word is boats. B-O-A-T-S. Boats. So is that just as simple as a lot of people having sex on boats?
Yeah, I mean, I think to me, everybody in Florida has got a boat. Everybody sort of on the beach, no matter where you are, you've got some kind of boat. It doesn't necessarily have to be a yacht. It can be a rowboat. And I would imagine that there's something interesting about performing the act on a boat that sort of rocks, right?
Well, it's like, when I used to cover...
If the boat is rocking...
Yeah.
Don't come a knocking.
When I used to cover the America's Cup, remember when we were in San Diego back in the day?
That. I got so sick covering
that. You'd get seasick if you didn't wear those wristbands. There were strip clubs in San Diego that had stripper boats, stripper spectator boats. So you'd be out there in your boat with your binoculars watching the America's Cup races, and a stripper boat would pull up next to you, and all the girls were naked. But I didn't think that was some big pornographic thing that would cause the number one search term in Florida to be boats. But maybe your point that everybody in Florida has a boat makes sense. All right, now these last two, if you can make sense of these, you're a bigger man than I.
Okay.
In Oklahoma, it's a two-word phrase.
Okay.
the two-word phrase that is the most searched term on Pornhub is goth hospital.
Okay. That makes sense.
I'd explain. So,
no, it doesn't.
Makes perfect sense. So everybody knows what that goth look is, right?
It's all black, black fingernails, black
lipstick and black fingernails, and it's sort of a fantasy thing. It looks like Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And so you're in a hospital, and the idea is that the goth person comes in with a sponge and gives you a sponge bath. I think that's what it is. It is a goth person, a goth woman, who comes in and gives you a sponge bath. That is my theory.
Lindsay, does goth hospital it make any sense in the pornography world to you?
No, not at all.
That's a
really odd thing to picture.
Yeah. Now, if you thought that was bad, here's the last one. In Tennessee, it's a name. It's a person's name. And that person is Kevin James. Now, I looked it up. There is not a porn star with the name Kevin James. Like, it's not a chance that the guy who was on King of Queens had a second career in pornography, or there is a second actor who does rated X films whose name is Kevin James. How in the world can the most searched for term on Pornhub in the state of Tennessee be Kevin James? Does that make sense to anybody?
I want to point out, I just did a little bit of research. This is kind of cheating.
Just a quick Google. Yeah.
Quick Google.
I was going to say, it's got to be some type of like viral video situation. I don't know. That's what
there
I think.
There are, on the very first page, at least 8 different actors named Kevin James.
Are any of them pornographic X-rated actors?
They're all X-rated actors. None of them are the actor Kevin James. Okay, so there's clearly some porn star or multiple porn stars named Kevin James. It's just generic enough to be a porn star name.
All right, so my research did not go deep enough, and the fact that you did it in 10 seconds makes my research. Like, my research was, I looked at the person who tweeted this out. There were about 1,000 comments, and people were saying, is there another Kevin James? And everybody's like, nope. Why? How do you explain this? Nope.
By the way, the goth hospital is described as horror porn.
Okay, maybe. But by the way, most of the states had regular, what you would expect to be typical search terms in pornography. But those 4, librarian, boats, goth hospital, and Kevin James, made zero sense.
They really jump out at you. Well, I hope I've enlightened you on some of these things. Now, I know nothing about...
Especially for someone who's never heard of that site. That's pretty remarkable.
Never even heard of the site. I just have a lot of friends with eclectic tastes.
There you go. Well, when we come back, Lindsay and Funchess will have questions, and we will continue with Fast Track.
Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hey, we're rolling on with Fast Track, and... Lindsay, it's to you.
Fast Track.
Okay, so we've been talking a lot about documentaries lately, obviously with The Last Dance premiering on Sunday, plus like general back and forth about what everyone's watching, especially me. Documentaries are my favorite thing to watch, and I actually recently asked my Twitter followers for some recommendations because I feel like I've just seen everything. Got a couple good recommendations, maybe like 2 or 3 that I haven't seen. And then somebody actually asked me what my favorite 30 for 30 documentary episodes are.
Okay.
So I know like they're all extremely well done, and I've even seen like all the shorts. I easily thought of like a top 3 favorites, but before I tell you guys, what are your top 3 30 for 30 episodes? John.
Okay, so there's a bunch of... I mean, it's almost impossible
to
narrow
it
down.
Yeah.
Because there's a bunch of super good ones. Like the one about the one that Billy Corbin did about the Miami team was like really good. But I'm obviously slanted about Los Angeles. So like I'll give you some honorable mentions and then I'll give you my 3. The ones that didn't quite make my list were Jimmy the Greek, the one about Jimmy the Greek.
Oh, that's a great one.
And how his career ends almost overnight, and the speed by which a career can tumble down in the age of the electronic media. He was really the first guy to be canceled, Jimmy the Greek literally was on top of the world. He was the number one handicapper in the country. He was on the NFL Today every week. He was drinking in a restaurant, and some local cameraman said, you know, asked him what appeared to be a fairly innocuous question, and he started. Remember, Macy ran it on. Well, you know what used to happen is the big black slave owner would breed and develop the big, and it was like so racially offensive to people that CBS fired him before the next morning, and he never recovered from it. That was it. He was done. So that was when Jordan Rides the Bus, which was Ron Shelton's 30 for 30 about Michael Jordan playing baseball, was really good.
Yep.
And then the first 30 for 30 I ever remember was June 17th, 1994. That's when four things were happening all at once on the same day. The
yep.
OJ chase was the biggest one, but also the Rangers were on their way to winning the Stanley Cup. The Knicks were in the NBA finals, and yep. Arnold Palmer was playing his last U.S. Open. I always remember that. But here are my top three. Number three, King's Ransom, how the L.A. Kings and Bruce McNall got Wayne Gretzky out of Edmonton. Peter Berg directed it, and you just couldn't imagine Wayne Gretzky ever leaving. He was the greatest athlete in the history of hockey. There's no way you would ever consider a trade, and Bruce McNall somehow pulled it off. My number two is Guru of Go. It was the story of Paul Westhead at LMU and how Hank Gathers literally died when that team was on an incredible roll. And I just watched it again recently. It's really good. But my number one was, and not surprisingly, Straight Out of L.A., directed by Ice Cube, how when the Raiders came to L.A., they took the city by storm, and all of L.A.'s inner city culture, including all the guys in NWA, just adopted the Raiders.
Yeah.
And I had season tickets to the Raiders as part of a group of guys in my fraternity, and we went to every game. And it was so fun that and that just capsulized everything. And Ice Cube directed it, and he was the voice of it. And so those are my three, Straight Out of L.A., Guru to Go, and King's Ransom. Mace, what are yours?
All good ones. I didn't necessarily center on L.A. I love the documentary because I think people forget how great and how amazing he really was Bo Knows. I thought the Bo Jackson 30 for 30 was unbelievable and really showed why he was maybe the greatest athlete of that period of time, of that era. I love the Miracle on Ice. I thought the Miracle on Ice backstory was incredible, stuff that I never knew came out of that. And my absolute favorite was the Bartman documentary with the Chicago Cubs. The fact that this poor guy, what was his name, Peter?
Steve Bartman.
Accidentally lost the Cubs a playoff series by touching a baseball, and they did the craziest thing where they took fans and they superimposed them and then removed them to show exactly how he touched it and what effect it had. It was crazy the way they did the technology on that. So my favorite one was the Steve Bartman documentary.
Funch, do you have a favorite 30 for 30?
I can't pinpoint just one, but the Fab Five one was really, really good.
It was
a two-parter.
And they made that work without Chris Webber.
Yeah,
Jalen was behind that, and Webber refused to do it.
And also, go ahead, John.
No, it's your list. Go.
Oh, Ric Flair, the Ric Flair 30 for 30. That was really, really good. Also, there was a Doc Gooden and Daryl Strawberry one, which was really good, that showed, you know, the parallels between their careers and, you know, what happened with drug use and all that stuff. So that was really, really good. And OJ, too. OJ.
Oh, the OD one, yeah. And Lindsay?
So mine, like, we all have different ones, which is crazy. Like, no repeats at all. So Len Bias, Without Bias, that
really
was
good.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, I was, like, a year old when that all happened. So I was, like, familiar with the story, but not, like, in a deep dive sense that, like, the film took you through. Brothers in Exile, which was about Levon and Orlando Hernandez, because, you know, as a Cleveland fan, obviously I know – I just remembered everything that happened in 1997.
I was there, that Levon Hernandez, man. That strike zone was as wide as Eric Gregg's ass.
Right. It was that. I mean, like, that was like, I had a personal attachment to that. But the story was fascinating, just about, like, how they came over from Cuba and, you know, how they got into the fact that, like, when they were playing for the Cuban national team, they had, they, like, were so poor that they had to steal toiletries from the hotels.
Wow.
And they would sometimes get confiscated when they came back in for through customs, or, like, the team would find out if they took them and they would get in trouble for having them. Like, the whole story was crazy about how, I think it was, or Levon came over first and then his brother. Anyway, favorite of all time is The Best That Never Was, with about Marcus Dupree. I was
That's a really good one.
I mean I wasn't familiar with that story at all. I didn't know anything about Marcus Dupree when I saw that, but, like, I thought it was one of the most compelling documentaries I've ever seen. It was fantastic.
Yeah. All different ones.
All right, Funch,
speaks
what do you got?
Speaks volumes about how great that series is. Funch?
All right, guys. So Shaq spoke with ESPN's Ariel Helwani on ESPN IG Live today when he was asked if his and Kobe's Lakers could have beaten Jordan's Bulls, and this is what he said.
Yes, easily, yeah.
Why?
Because I would have killed Luke Longley, Bill Winning, Cartwright, yeah. So the factor is me and my free throw shooting. So, okay, another question is, our Lakers in their prime – in Chicago, no problem. Who is Phil Jackson with? Is he with us or is he with them?
I think he's with them because he was with them first.
So he would have tried the Hacker Shack then he would. So I still would have averaged my 28-29, but the key would have been the free throws. So, you know, with me, it's always 50-50, so hopefully I would have been on. If I'd been on, we win. If I'd been off, we lose. But, you know, I love having these conversations. They would have did this, we would have did that. But I could strictly say I think we would have beat them.
So, in my Kornheiser voice, who you got, Lakers or Bulls, guys?
Well, Shaq asked the important question, who gets Phil Jackson?
Who gets Phil, yeah.
That's my answer. Whoever gets Phil. I guess Ariel said that Phil would be in Chicago. So then I'm trying to think of who would be coaching the Lakers. I think it was Del Harris, right? That, you know, I think
Del Harris before Phil. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so I if we get Phil, we get him. But Shaq and Kobe were the most dominant 1-2 punch ever. And people, like, when we played when Mason and Sedano and I played the game, we all forgot about how dominant Shaq was. He just took that 2K game over. So it would be close. But I think you got, you know, Phil's a major weapon there. I'm sitting here watching this game, and this triangle is just destroying Orlando. They can't guard it. So Phil would have been on the Bulls bench. I would lean towards whoever had Phil, but I think the Lakers would have a shot even without him.
But Shaq might be right, because the Bulls had no one. They had Luke Longley. They had Bill Winnington. You know,
yeah,
they had
the,
no one.
The Bill,
they
the
had,
Bulls
they had Jordan Pippen
inside.
And Rodman.
But Peak Shaq, I think that's a real series. That is a real series. Peak Shaq, and now my opinion about Shaq is completely colored by our 2K game where I saw Shaq just destroy
everyone
from all of history. Yeah. But Shaq was completely unguardable, completely unstoppable. The only thing you could have done was foul him. And as Shaq said, he shot 50%, didn't he?
Yeah, 49, I think.
49%. So he'd get you half of them, but I just think Shaq was unstoppable. I think that's I think that's probably a 7-game series, and maybe Phil Jackson does make the difference. Do you think that's a 7-game series, John?
Yeah. Oh yeah. And very close. And it would depend if a fast series would favor the Bulls and a half court series would favor the Lakers. Because you got to remember, Kobe at that point was just Kobe was basically almost Jordan. Wasn't quite Jordan, but almost Jordan. So those two things would neutralize, and then all of a sudden you got to stop Shaq. So the more I think about it, maybe I would tilt towards the Lakers, but I want Phil. I'd make a trade for Phil so I could get him.
Yeah, exactly. All right, coming up next for you, more Fast Track. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, it is time for some more Fast Track. We're going to do some Mystery Voice.
Excellent.
This is Lindsay versus John in Mystery Voice. Lindsay, are you ready?
I suppose.
I'm sorry.
What is that kind of attitude is that?
Well,
I don't remember who last won this. I actually think it was John that won it.
All right, bring it on.
I think I'm very good at it.
We'll settle it.
Yeah, you're good.
Today.
You're good. All right, your name is your buzzer. Here is Mystery Voice number one.
We got reconnected a few months
John.
Ago.
John.
That's J-Lo.
That is J-Lo, yes. Talking about her heartbreak with Ben Affleck. Lindsay, you doing okay there?
Yes.
Okay.
Totally fine.
Here is Mystery Voice number two.
The only thing it means is if you have a young player or two getting ready for the postseason for the first time, I'd rather him individually be doing well rather than coming in 0 for 20 or losing his last four games. But for a team, it's look, you could win 15 in a row in the season.
John.
I'm going to take a guess. Is it John Smoltz?
It is John Smoltz. Wow, a fantastic pull for John Smoltz. Lindsay, you doing okay there?
Yep, no clue on that one.
All right. Here is mystery voice number three.
When they told me I had mono, so what happened was, Gase and Dowell came over and they wanted to talk.
Lindsay!
Who had mono? It was Sam Darnold.
It was Sam Darnold. Excellent
job.
Oh,
very good.
Lindsay is on the board.
Very good, Lindsay.
Ireland, you doing okay there?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay, all right. Here is mystery voice number four.
That's the thing about COVID-19. It doesn't care about
Lindsay.
How rich you are.
Lindsay.
It's that weird Madonna video.
It is that weird Madonna video.
Oh,
yes, it is.
All tied up. It all comes
all
down to
tied
that.
Up.
Oh, wow. Good comeback,
wow.
Lindsay.
It
Thanks.
All comes down to this. This is for everything. Mystery voice number five.
Thank you very much, everybody. I'm here to declare a
John.
Very...
John.
That is Alec Baldwin.
That is Alec Baldwin as Donald Trump.
Boom.
A win for John.
You are pumped.
Lindsay, you okay there?
Congrats. Oh, I'm great.
You okay there, Lindsay?
Yeah.
Like a little more competitiveness out of you.
Just make it true. Yeah, you're so mellow about it.
No, I'm just not very good
Lindsay,
at that one.
Lindsay, remember, what are you talking about? You almost won. And remember, Lindsay, when you compete on the Mason and Ireland show and you lose, a little part of you dies.
Right. It is to the death, Lindsay.
So,
the stakes are,
so much
the stakes
so
are
that
high.
People are known to cheat even, you know? Like
yeah,
that Sleazewa guy.
Sleazewa is
yeah,
a cheater.
Is, yeah,
there's
that,
no question.
Well, that, yeah, that was unprecedented.
Yeah.
Funch?
Fast track.
All right, guys. A lot of people are throwing around potential solutions as to how the NBA might look if and when we get it back. Former Lakers forward Caron Butler has an idea that sounds crazy, but maybe it's not.
Okay.
Plexiglass. Caron says that when fans are allowed to come back, you could put plexiglass around the court to separate the fans from the players and other on-court officials. It would be comparable to going to what studio at ESPN LA. You know, people can stand outside and you yeah. and I are inside the plexiglass.
Sure. Sure.
Fans would stand outside the glass and watch. I guess it would be almost like going to the zoo. What do you guys think of this idea?
It's nonsense. I mean, the problem isn't the players infecting the fans or the fans infecting the players. It's the fans infecting each other in a crowd. It does nothing to keep fans with COVID or with asymptomatic symptoms from passing it along to somebody else in the crowd. So I guess
what if you socially distance the crowd?
So every seven seats, there's a fan.
Right.
I just think it sounds like nonsense
okay.
to me.
Yeah, but here's
that would
the thing.
Be
ultimately,
so weird.
You'd have to enter single file. I mean,
yeah, and how would you handle the concourse? Like, if you wanted to go up and get food?
Yeah, and then the people
the
who sell
have,
the
like,
food have to
the
be
grocery
tested.
Stores and stuff, right? You know, with all the
yeah,
lines
but it'd be,
and
it'd be extremely
and,
hard. Could you do yeah. like on Get Smart and use the cone of silence? You lower the plexiglass cone on top of every fan?
Yeah, probably unlikely that the plexiglass business is capable of handling this request from, who is it, Caron Butler?
Yeah, and would you have to, I guess you would have to run the plexiglass because the virus could get airborne. You'd have to run the plexiglass from the floor all the way to the roof of Staples Center, right?
Yeah.
Theoretically,
I have an
to make
idea.
This work. What's your idea?
You could just put everybody in bubbles like that movie Bubble Boy.
Yes.
Yeah, Bubble Boy.
Same concept, right?
Mace, you know what this means? Invest, buy stock in plastics.
Plastics, the old recommendation from William Daniels in The Graduate.
There you go.
Buy plastics.
Yeah, I don't think it...
There is a non-contemporary reference for you, but a great movie to go back and look at, Dustin Hoffman in The Graduate.
First movie appearance by, do you know who? Guy went on to be a very famous actor. Yeah, he ducks in. He's one of the guys in the dorm. And
is
he
it
runs
Robert
in.
Redford?
Robert Redford, yeah.
No, it is
yeah.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Richard Dreyfuss.
Yeah, runs down the hallway and sticks his head in the doorway.
Robert Redford actually turned down the role in The Graduate.
Lucky for Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, lucky for Dustin Hoffman. Although Redford, it turned out okay for him.
Yeah, sure.
Turned
did.
Out okay for Redford.
Sure.
All right, do one or
no break, right. And then we'll come back. We'll do one more each.
Okay, cool. That's coming up next for you, Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, rolling on with Fast Track, and it's to me.
Fast Track.
All right, John, I have always been a defender of millennials. I've always said they have
yes,
very,
you claim
very
you're the world's oldest
rap.
Millennial. Yeah.
So this is a generation that just cannot buy a break.
Oh, please.
They entered the workforce during the Great Recession in 2008 while attempting to pay down huge college debt. Now in their peak earning years, still paying off debt, having kids, and trying to accumulate a little bit of wealth for themselves, they get hit with the COVID-19 crisis and an economy that is at a total standstill. Data for Progress found that a staggering 52% of people under the age of 45 have lost a job or been put on leave or their hours reduced to the pandemic. That is a way higher average than people over the 45. Question, are you going to stop making fun of millennials and show a little bit more sympathy?
Hell no. Everybody
Think
has,
about it. Think
everybody
about
has
it.
Heartbreak. Everyone has tough times. Come on. Pick up your bootstraps and get in there. It doesn't have anything to do with your age. Lindsay's a millennial. She's working. Funch is a millennial. He's working.
We grew up in the 80s. It was a booming economy, John. The 80s and 90s were booming economies.
Yes, thanks to Ronald Reagan and Bill Clinton.
And Bill Clinton. But this is an absolute mess. Lindsay, when Lindsay
Lindsay, should I have more sympathy for you because you're a millennial?
I don't think so.
Thank
I mean, you mean like right now in this situation? No, I
feel
like
sympathy for everybody in
but
this
Lindsay,
situation.
When you were,
I'm saying I don't know if you should have one sympathy for one, you know, age group of people more than the other.
Yeah,
other
but
than
here's
I
the
guess,
thing.
Like,
we had a chance, Lindsay, to grow up and build some wealth because. Luckily, fortunately for us, we happened to be at the right age at the right time. When you were, say, 26, the Great Recession happened. Now you're 35. You're hanging on to your job, which is great. You've still got your job. But a lot of people your age have lost their job. This is the time when you should be accumulating wealth, or if you want to, have kids, or you've wiped out student debt, or one of those things. I just think that the whole generation has really gotten screwed by the economy.
Yeah, but you know what? I don't know if this is a direct parallel, but I'll say, like, the way that I was raised and, like, my parents wanted me to have a job, and if I wanted to have certain things, I had to pay for them, I had to work for them. And I know plenty of people, including, like, my ex-boyfriend, for example, where, you know, he was lucky enough to be in a family that afforded him a lot of things that other people didn't have. And he kind of – it kind of – made him a crappier person, if you ask me. And I feel like the fact that I have to work for stuff, I appreciate it more, and it makes me have a better work ethic, and I understand just like life in general a lot better because I have to work for things.
But don't you have friends that are out of work because of the COVID-19?
Well, I think everybody does now.
Because I've got tons of friends who aren't working, who can't work right now.
I do, but I don't think that has anything to do with, like, millennials versus, you know.
Yeah, I don't either. I think this is a reach. I think that millennials can
think about this again. Half of people under the age of 45 have lost their job.
Well, you and I have lost jobs.
Yeah, but half, only 26% of people over the age of 45 have lost their job.
Yeah, I'm very sympathetic.
Yeah, but how many of those people are already retired?
26% of people over the age of 45.
Hey, Funch, you're a millennial. Do you think I should have more sympathy for you?
Not at all. I put myself in his boat.
Yeah, I mean, Mace, I think it's a reach. You're trying to give people a handout. All they need is a hand.
They're not getting a hand. That's the problem. COVID-19 is they're getting slapped.
Yeah, but who is in COVID-19 getting a hand? Everybody's hand's getting slapped.
Oh, you know what I meant to mention today? This is actually significant. And on this note, both my mom and my not stepdad Leo got their official $1,200. Is it $1,200?
Mm-hmm.
Automatically deposited into their accounts. So the
Was it signed by President Trump?
It was
not. Apparently that was important to him.
No, they had auto deposit. They,
yes, that a boy.
It just went into their accounts, which is great.
Well, wait a minute. Lindsay or Funch, did you guys get yours? Did you get a $1,200 show up in your account?
I did.
I sure did.
Funch did. Oh, Lindsay, you didn't apply for it?
I make too much money.
Okay. Good for you. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah, no, that's a good problem. Way to go, Lindsay.
Funch?
Fast track.
All right, guys. You may have noticed that ESPN ran a seven-hour National Spelling Bee Marathon on Sunday. In honor of that, I have a spelling bee for the three of you.
Oh, good.
All right.
I'm so good at this.
You spell your words right, you move on, you miss, and you're out. Okay. Now, here's the thing. All three of you could win it. You only have to spell four words correctly to be a winner.
Okay.
All right? But if you miss one of the four, you're out. All right? And they go, the words start somewhat easy, and it, by the end, they get hard. No cheating.
Okay.
All right? Here
Got
we go.
It.
Lindsay, the first word goes to you, and the word is referee. Like this basketball game I'm watching has three referees. Referee.
These are ones that, this is one that I have trouble with. R-E-F-E-R-E-E.
Referee is correct. Lindsay moves on to the second round.
Good job.
Funch, your word is aerobics. If I go out and run around the block, I'm getting a good aerobics workout.
A-E-R-O-B-I-C-C? Or S?
Which one do you want to go with, C or S?
B-I-C-S.
Correct.
There you go.
Aerobics. You move on to the next round. Mace, your word is recreational. Many people would argue that your favorite habit is for recreational use, while you would claim it's medicinal.
Medicinal.
Recreational is your word.
I will say it's R-E-C-R-E-A-T-I-O-N-A-L.
Correct. All three of you advance to the second round. Well done. All right, Lindsay, your second round word is amateur. People that compete in the Olympics are supposed to be amateur.
Okay.
What's the? How do you spell it?
A-M-E-T-E-U-R.
You are out. I'm sorry. Ugh. It's A-M-A-T-E-U-R.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You said A-M-E.
Oh,
all right, so Lindsay goes down. Now, Lindsay, you still have a chance if both Funch and Mace miss. Funch, your word is gymnasium. I missed more shots at the Corona Del Mar High gymnasium than perhaps any basketball player ever. Gymnasium.
G-Y-M-N-A-S-T-I-S-M.
No, not even close.
No.
You had the first letter.
Where the hell did that T come from?
I don't know. I suck at spelling.
That was just a random T.
It's hard to spell out loud.
Wow.
I rely on auto text now.
All right.
Yeah, we all do.
That means I'm going to give Mace a harder word because he can win it all. Mace Krzyzewski. The coach of the Duke Blue Devils is Mike Krzyzewski. Give it a shot.
K-R-Y-Z.
You're out.
Ah.
It's K-R-Z-Y.
Z-E-W-S-K-I.
Okay, so that means I'll put all you back in it since you all missed your second round word. Lindsay, your word is Dellavedova, as in Matthew Dellavedova played for the Cavs when they won the title in 2016.
Oh, man, is it Della or Della? D-E-L-L-A. Hold on. D-E-L-L-A. Della. Well, D-E-L-L-E-V-A-D-O-V-A.
You're out. You mixed up the A and
E.
It's D-E-L-L-A-V-E. Yeah, you just... Okay. Funch, your word is Roethlisberger. The quarterback of the Pittsburgh Steelers is Ben Roethlisberger.
That's like on my list of struggle words.
All right. Funch, see if you can get it.
Here we go for a wrong answer. R-O-T-H-I-S-H...
I no
E-E-R-N-G.
Like so
can I do
bad.
It? Can I do it? Can I? I think
yeah,
thought
try
it was like a euphemism or whatever
yeah,
it's called.
Yeah,
to try
remember
it. It's
try.
Roethlisberger. So it's R-O-E, R-O-E-T-H-L-I-S-B-E-R-G-E-R.
Correct. Yeah, you had it. But now Mason can win it. Mace, you can win it all if you could spell Yastrzemski. As in, Carl Yastrzemski was one of the great Boston Red Sox outfielders of all time.
Y-A-Z.
Wait, you're just going to try it? Wait, just start over.
Y-A-Z.
Okay.
S-T.
You're out. It's Y-A-S. T-R-Z.
Oh, I thought it was
E-M-S-K-I. And ladies and gentlemen, there are no winners in the Mason and Ireland first ever
spelling
bee. Nobody could get by the second round. Oh, you guys gave it a good effort. They were hard words.
They were hard words, man.
You know, one I used to always also struggle with is Kaepernick, because I always forgot that it was like
Well, I'll give you guys the other ones. Mace, could you have spelled Jed Jorko, who played for the Dodgers last year?
G-Y-O-R-K-O.
Correct. Yeah, so you would have got that one. Lindsay, can you spell Giannis's last name, Antetokounmpo?
Nope.
Funch, you want to try it?
I can't spell it. I'm not going to try.
All right, so Mason, you get an honorary win for being able to spell Jorko.
Oh, I've got an exclusive leak.
What?
I just got an exclusive leak. Somebody on the inside has shared with me potential Sliwa show logos.
Really?
Yeah, and I hate them.
Okay.
I hate these logos.
How can we see them?
I'm going to tweet them out right now.
Okay.
I'll include you. And I'll include
Sliwa,
of course.
Wait, if it's a leak, are you supposed to? You better check with everybody. That
wait,
you're
we
like...
have no bosses. We're in quarantine.
Yeah, no, none of it matters anymore.
Well, I'm just saying
we
if
just,
it's a leak,
we just,
you might want
we
to
We just did a fast-track question
chair.
About Pornhub. Nothing matters anymore. okay, so I'm gonna tweet these out right now. I think Sliwa coming up next? Oh, that music can only mean one thing. It's Sliwa. Till sunset. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN. So I just came across and leaked I believe these are correct. These came from an inside source. I leaked the new logos for the Alan Sliwa show, and I'm incredibly disappointed in our design team.
First of all, I'm incredibly disappointed in Sliwa. He already thinks he's Ramona. He's late for his own show.
Yeah, that's an excuse.
You guys know I'm here. I'm just like literally in the background.
Well, why didn't you make your presence known to Funchess?
I just told Funch I'm here, and then he said, I'm potting you up. So we were just, I just kind of.
All right, now have you, okay, so let's get right to it. Have you seen the three potential logos for the Sliwa show?
Can we start over for a quick second?
Mace,
how do I explain how I just go on Twitter and there's just – it says leaked, by the way, which is just absolutely fantastic. How do you see it? I've never even seen it. It's the first time I've ever seen it.
You've ever seen it.
I've ever seen any of them. Mace, your inside – your strength inside is unbelievable.
I don't think he was supposed to share them.
Well, I'm glad he did because we're moving in the wrong direction here, Sliwa.
All right, let's take a look here.
All right, we're really missing out.
Okay, so the Sliwa show is not the name of your show. The name of your show is Sliwa at Sunset.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have to embrace. SAS, man. Mace, don't you think that a sunset going down over Los Angeles with maybe a palm tree and
of
if
course.
We can that and then in like the word Sliwa going over the sundown and then you just very subtly along the bottom right at sunset with like three dots and that's it. Sliwa at sunset.
Yeah,
that's what you got to embrace, man.
So do we have to have? Is the idea have two logos based upon the time change and where we are in the year? Right.
No, because when your show changes later, you're still going to be at sunset, right?
Well, I thought it was SLEW After Dark.
Well, no, your show evolves. Once you start, it's always going to be at sunset because we're only going till 6 or 6:30. Mm-hmm. So it's always going to be around sunset. And then when you've been on for an hour or so, it's SLEWA After Dark, right?
Oh, it's a tough one for you guys. This is a tough one. This is I'm looking at all three of these, by the way. Can I ask you guys just this?
Yeah.
You guys know I'm running with, and I told you callers even will sometimes say it's SLEWAT after SLEWAT sunset or whatever the case is. But these three here, just out of curiosity, what you guys, is there one that stands out to you guys? By the way, you know we don't design any of these. None of this is from us.
All three stand out. Bad, worse, and terrible.
Yeah, no, they're really. I'm stunned that this is what. Because normally I'm a big believer in our design team. I think our design team does a fantastic job. In this particular case, they've absolutely blown it. They do not understand the importance of the whole SLEWA at sunset movement. And let's face it, it is a movement. This is your jam.
They're
man.
Disrespecting the whole SLEWA at sunset concept. If I were you, Alan, I would go in there and throw a fit. And since we're doing everything electronically, just send a text with a bunch of emojis that appear you're really mad, like that these got leaked. They don't represent the spirit of the show, and you're not having it.
Oh, that's so good, Mace. How'd you get that? How'd you get these?
I don't want to say my source.
You guys really hold your sources very close.
But his
to
name, his source, he cannot reveal it. Very important.
Rhymes with Lami Tam.
No, I thought it was going to rhyme with Ris Totalis.
No, it rhymes with Lami Tam.
Lami Tam. Yeah. That actually sounds like a Hollywood name.
So you guys hate them.
If they don't say SLEWA at sunset, we're out. I'm just letting you know right now. We're out for anything that does not address the whole SLEWA at sunset concept. We worked very hard to hand that to you and let you run with it, and they've completely ignored it.
Mace, have you shared with some of your sources what you think of the logos?
No, I thought I would surprise them with mm-hmm. my highly negative reaction.
Okay, I got to be honest.
Because I'm guessing they think they nailed it.
There's one I like, actually.
There's one you like?
I think, so you put out, by the way, I only saw these first two, and then I saw the third one. Even though you guys hate all three of them because it doesn't, like you guys say, portray the show properly, is there one out of the three that you hate least?
I hate all three equally.
Yeah, I really can't tell you how much I hate them.
Should we call Tommy? Or
we
not
probably
Tommy?
We should probably call Lami? Tommy.
You mean Lami?
Lami. Yeah, we should call Lami and get Lami on the phone.
I mean, I think if that's where you guys feel like we need to go with the show, then I'm just a branch right now that just it's. I'm kind of working off other people's momentum right now.
Yeah, I really find it to be a sad example of somebody. I really thought they understood. I thought the people on our design team really understood what the SLEWA at Sunset movement was all about. But clearly, I'm wrong. I am incredibly disappointed that SLEWA at sunset is not used. And don't you think it's the most I mean, be honest.
Yeah.
Don't you think it's like the most generic-looking logo you could possibly come up with?
The first one I kind of like.
Let me, you know, Alan, before you elaborate, let me just read mm-hmm. you a tweet we just received from one of our listeners named Jeff. Just yeah. three yeah. words. Three words, okay? These are poopy.
Poopy.
Poopy. That's his
I think
analysis.
That's an excellent way to put it. An excellent way to put it.
Somebody did say that it was better than the Rams logo.
It is not.
Untrue.
Untrue.
I'm just
the Rams logo may look like a phallic symbol, but at least it addresses the Rams. It's ram horns. They address the spirit of the team.
Joe Fielderstein said it's better than the Rams design team. That's what he said.
James Porras says, brought to you by Windows 95.
That's a good one.
That is pretty good. That is very funny.
Lindsay, do you have Lamy's number? I can send it to you if you don't.
I have it.
Or Funch, do you have it?
I don't. I can find it.
I'll send it to him.
Okay.
Morales is already on top. He said this is the one that looks like a real show, and he's got the one individual one that you set out. That's my favorite one too.
That one was actually not originally leaked, and I asked that one to be leaked because that was my favorite.
Yeah, that's the best one. So everybody got to see the logo except me.
Oh, wait. I just got a new leaked logo. This is a new...
Does it embrace the spirit of the show?
I think
so
it does.
So there was four, huh?
Yeah, there's a fourth one.
See,
Interesting.
I'm going to tweet it out right now.
It does not look like a phallic symbol, Alan, so you got that going for you.
But in every
other way, not good.
I like that one on its own.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, but I mean, you would be better off putting a phallic symbol on than using one of these. Hey, can one of the listeners take one of those Sliwa Show logos and put the Ram phallic symbol in the middle
there
of it?
There it is. Maybe? Okay, the new one has just been released, and I think we're on the right track.
We are on the right track, but the at sunset needs to be more subtle.
I agree.
And maybe orange.
Well, I can only do so much using pages on my computer while we're having a conversation.
Yeah, you at least attempted to embrace the spirit of the show. I think we could get a palm tree in there.
That's actually me in the background, Mace.
That's on the right, in the boat.
I like that one the best, for sure.
That is me.
Yeah, I think that one's got a lot of potential.
Mason literally did that in 5 minutes while he was on the air. I mean, come on.
That was from the design team too.
John, you hate these logos. John is not happy about these logos.
No, I don't really care because it's not my show. But if I were you, I would hate these logos. I'm surprised you're not more upset over this.
Well, first of all, I didn't even see these until Mason put them on Twitter. So I have not had – by the way, Mace, right when you put them on, I just heard you say on the show we have some leaking information, right? We have something that's been leaked. I saw it right at that moment on Twitter, and then I dialed in. I've had no time to let this sink in. But, John, you got to be honest. That one on its own, that's kind of a nice logo.
The last one Mason did with the sunset picture?
Yes, that one.
Yeah, no, you're moving in the right direction.
Yeah,
but I would say that's a good first draft.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I can do in 10 minutes on my computer. Now you said something more subtle, John.
I've done a
more subtle one. Let me see what you think of this one.
Sikay Project says, "How can they be real logos if they don't say Sliwa at sunset?"
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean that's
see, he this get, is Alan.
Up,
he this gets
is picking
it.
Up some
Why
steam
don't
right
you
now.
Get it?
This is
I
picking
mean,
up some steam right now.
Yeah. Hey, look at this, man! I have a graphic design and print company. I'll redo this logo for free.
Okay, now, John, you thought a little more subtle on the at sunset. So I went a little more subtle, and I think that one really works.
It looks like a first grader drew it. It's awesome.
No, this is it. I think we found it. And
that
I think Mace,
Mace the best
that's
one
perfect.
Yet.
Mace, you saved the company a ton of money, too.
That one is excellent.
They should have let me do the Rams logo.
Yeah, it would have been better than what they came up with.
I could have killed it on the Rams logo. Yeah, I think you've got to own the Sliwa Sunset. Don't do the generic logo, Sliwa. I think you need to put your your foot down and say, look, mm-hmm. I've been on the air for over a year now.
For 30 minutes.
I have got weight. My opinion matters. And my show is Sleewood Sunset.
Let me tell you right now, just you two sending out tweets about this is the most pull. That's the most pull that's realistic. If I go out and say to any of the people that put the logo together, they're going to say, why don't you go back and prepare your show there, buddy? Go prepare your show.
There's 40 seconds left in the Lakers Magic game where they're about to win the title.
I feel good about it. I feel good about this.
Well, they're up 13 with 40 seconds to go. But you know what? This team, I've decided in watching this game while we've been doing the show, this team that went to three straight finals in 08, 09, and 10 is highly underrated. I mean, really underrated. Bynum, Odom, and Gasol up front with Kobe and Fisher in the backcourt. How do you guard that team?
It was underrated. I think, too, John, I think part of the reason why they were underrated was maybe it was just the opponent. You know, the team that they played in the finals, it was going to be, remember, Orlando beat LeBron and the Cavs. Everybody
thought, and they beat the Celtics.
And everybody thought for, you know,
they kept the Celtics from going to three finals in a row.
And everybody thought for a split second, maybe it's going to be LeBron versus Kobe for the first time. So I just think the hype wasn't there as it was for the next year when it was Boston-LA again.
This team doesn't get the credit it deserves. And Trevor Ariza never should have left. Those are my observations.
Yeah. All right, more. Do we have Tommy Lamb? Call Tommy.
I called him. He's not picking up. Okay. He doesn't want to face the music.
He probably knows.
He will not face the music.
On.
Yeah, he will not face
what's
the
going
music.
On right now.
That is sad. That is really sad. All right, more of Sliwa at Sunset coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, so Sliwa, you said off the air that you've got a great bit for the second half of Crosstalk. And by the way, we rely on you to come up with some few. We've just had three hours plus, so we're relying on you to carry us through that last 15 minutes.
I'm ready to go.
Okay, what do you got?
Funch, put some music for us again. Let's get some good music in the background. Movie questions. Mason
versus Ireland. Questions. Oh, wow. This is my strongest suit.
This is your jam. John, you good?
Yeah.
Okay. So, same thing. Your name is the buzzer.
Okay.
And I'll probably, Lindsay, you're always the tiebreaker on these. Okay, here we go. In the Matrix, does Neo take the blue pill or the red pill?
Mason. John.
Ah, Lindsay.
I think it was Mason.
Yeah. He took the red pill.
Okay.
No.
1-0.
Oh, I think so. Oh, I would have missed it anyway. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
1-0, Mace. By the way, that's the difference between you and me, John. You took the blue pill and I took the red pill.
There you go.
All right. Here we go.
Actually, politically, it would have gone the other way.
Yeah.
What movie did Tom Hanks score his first Academy Award nomination?
John. Mason.
John.
Philadelphia.
No.
Mace.
Big.
Big. 2-0. 2-0 right now. Here we go. Right. First of four.
This is in Mason's wheelhouse, too. I mean, we get shut out here. I got to be. Okay.
The head of what kind of animal?
John.
Isn't it? Go ahead, John.
Horse.
2-1. 2-1.
Okay, what was the rest of the question?
Scene from The Godfather.
Oh, wow.
John, that's
John,
incredibly impressive.
You were sitting on that one.
Yep.
Okay, here we go. 2-1 right now.
Yep.
What 1994 crime film revitalized John Travolta's career?
John.
Mason.
Go ahead, John.
Pulp Fiction.
2-2, guys.
Ooh.
2-2. It's a good series right here.
It is.
Okay. Let's see which one I'm going to do. Three of Jim Carrey's blockbusters, listen to the whole thing here, The Mask, Dumb and Dumber, and Ace Ventura were all released in what year?
John.
Go ahead, John.
1994.
Wow. 3-2.
Really?
Wow.
I remember it was the first year Mason and I were together.
That is a fantastic pull.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would have guessed the same year for what it's worth.
All right.
So if I get this next one, I win it.
3-2. Final. Okay. Could be final one.
Okay.
In what 1976 thriller does Robert De Niro famously say, "You talking to me?"
John.
Mason.
John.
Taxi Driver.
I was there. I think you guys have the most unfair judging system.
You are such a bad loser.
You're quite far behind on that one.
You have such a bad judging system.
You are a full second behind on that.
Your judging system's garbage. It's trash.
Alan, has Mason ever beaten me in one of your games?
Not yet. Not yet, Mason. It's not yet. Not yet.
Man. That sucks.
By the way, are those any good or no? Do you guys like doing those or no?
Yeah, that's a good. That's a good game.
Yeah, they've been good. Those are all good.
All right, should we go back to the logo conversation or no? Did we get Tommy?
Did we get Tommy?
No, I don't.
Where's
think
Tommy Hyden? Did we get Carlo? Carlo? He's the other one.
Well, Carlo just no. Carlo doesn't. It doesn't have the con. Carlo will just.
You
agree
think
with us.
He doesn't have the con? You think
Carlo's fingerprints are all over this? Carlo.
If you guys want, we could call like the actual people who designed it in like, you know, ESPN corporate.
Oh yeah, that's what this logo is. It is so friggin' corporate.
Yeah, it does feel very Bristol.
Well, you know that's how it's all gonna happen. Can you imagine, Mace, if Tommy took your logo and said, "Hey guys, this is what we're running with," to corporate, what do you think they would say? What do you think Bristol would say?
They'd say, "Hey, we're in a quarantine. Do whatever you want."
You might be right.
Do what you want.
You might be right.
People are starting to send in some decent sunset pictures.
Oh, we've got really smart people who know how to design stuff on Twitter way better than I do.
Yeah, all of a sudden, Mace, your slide may not cut it. People are stepping it up.
Oh yeah. Now we'll have a good one before it's all over.
I'm trying to see if I'm missing it. Did anybody else send anything after you sent Mace?
I'm looking. No, all these design people are working on it right now. Hey, you want to do something optimistic to wrap up the show?
Well, Why not? I was going to say something too, but go.
Oh, okay. No, go ahead and say something if you want.
How great was just hearing Fauci have some positive news?
I was just going to play Anthony Fauci. Go ahead and hit that, Funch. I gave him
comes to the stadium. Put them in big hotels, you know, wherever you want to play. Keep them very well surveilled, namely a surveillance, but have them tested like every week and make sure they don't wind up infecting each other or their family and just let them play the season out. I mean, people say, well, you know, you can't play without spectators. Well, I think you probably get enough buy-in from people who are dying to see a baseball game, particularly me. I'm living in Washington. We have the world champion Washington Nationals. You know, I want to see them play again.
See? He knows the importance of sports. He knows how it's going to lead us out of this valley of disaster that we've all been living in, this quarantine. He knows.
Well, it's also, too, Mace, how many people have we heard from where we're all just – everything's a hypothetical. And I'm not saying that, you know, there's anything in stone right now either, even if Dr. Fauci says it. But how good do you feel just to hear that it's coming from Dr. Fauci? Yeah, I do think there's a way. You're not going to have fans there.
Well, there's so many – there's guys like Bill Plachke who say there will be no sports in 2020. Zero. None. Get over it. And Wilbon screaming at the moon. I don't want to hear your plan. There's no sports. We're all dying. It's no – we can't play sports. No. We can play sports. We just need to be smart about it. And so for the medical people to say it gives it credence.
You know, baseball today launched the biggest test of the biggest widespread test of antibody research with all their players and with the general public to try to figure out what's going on. Rob Manfred is trying to get ahead of this curve with this gigantic research project that they're doing. Because remember, baseball is going to be tougher. The NBA, baseball and football are both tougher, right? Because there are more people involved. Fewer people involved in the NBA, obviously fewer people involved in golf, fewer people involved in stuff like UFC and WrestleMania.
Tennis.
Tennis, individual sports. But as far as mass sports and the ones that take a lot of people, football and baseball are going to be the toughest ones to actually come back. But I have every faith now that I know Anthony Fauci is a baseball fan, that he is going to get baseball back for us.
I love the tie-in, too, like you guys mentioned, that it is – listen, it's a big part of kind of taking steps in the right direction. Look, it's obvious
we are huge sports fans, and we know that it's much more important for what's going on in the country and the world. All that gets figured out. But that kind of that ties with the sports part, because if sports starts getting played, and even if it's in empty stadiums, and even if it's in a quarantine state or however they do it, Mace, that means we're moving in the right direction. You know, that means there are things that there's obviously more confidence that there's a solution, and that you can have, maybe you could say, larger gatherings by the time you're in June, or maybe that's not the case at all. But I do feel like sports is just the foundation of a lot of what we do in this country.
Yeah, it's going to help lead us out of this because it will restore. And, you know, not everybody in the world is a sports fan, but sports infects, and I mean in the best possible way, infects everybody. You know, it's part of the currency of life. Do you see what the Dodgers did last night? You look at the sports page, if you happen to look at the sports page, or you go on the internet, Dodgers won, Lakers won. Look, they're up 2-1 in the playoffs. You know, we all remember those times when people have got Laker flags on their cars driving around because it's the playoffs. It restores a sense of normalcy. And throughout history, baseball helped lead us through the post-war era. You know, 1946, 1947, 1948, after the war was over. Baseball helped us to get through all that. And I think all sports are going to help us to get through this and give us a sense of normalcy again.
All right, so earlier in the show, I told Mason Allen that I got an email today from somebody that said I could take a Mace, I just forwarded it to you, so take a quick look at it and tell me if you think it's legit. Basically, a week-long trip to Costa Rica,
yes,
including airfare, for $399.
That's
$399.
Nuts.
Do you think, Mace, it might be like in a cargo plane, or do you think this is a legit
yeah.
thing?
Yeah, you're underneath the plane.
But I mean, come on.
You're in
$399, six-night trip with air.
That's unbelievable.
And it can it be any time between now and the end of the year?
It says select dates July through December 2020.
And three nights in La Fortuna, which is where I went, close to the Arena Volcano. Three nights in Playa Hermosa, which is, I didn't go to Playa Hermosa. I went to the other beach, but this is the big surfing beach. Standard economy car.
Do you think it's legit?
Yeah, I think it's legit.
This $399 per person trip includes round trip airfare, six nights accommodations, standard economy car, and a daily breakfast. $400?
Come on, let's all go.
All right, if you guys want to look into this, it's on a website called TravelZoo.com, which we do not endorse and we don't know anything about.
And we can't vouch for.
Yeah.
So we have
no idea if it's legit. You may be flying in the cargo hole.
You could be just pissing your money away for all we yep. know. So we are not yep. endorsing this.
But I
John,
can't
John,
believe
would you,
that that's
would
what
you
it
agree?
Costs.
Would you agree right now, probably the cleanest the airports have ever been, the cleanest all the planes have been. And I say that because, you know, obviously we're in the middle of this pandemic. But don't you think there's just such a small amount of people moving around, period? And I know we're not supposed
right.
to.
My worry right would be, okay, so if I took next week off mm-hmm. and went on this trip to Costa Rica, my worry would be, could I get back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you never know. There might be a travel ban if things change.
Yep.
Yeah, but everyone says that when they do those travel bans, that like it doesn't apply. Like if you're outside of the U.S., that if you're a U.S. citizen, you
can always
you can still
get back
get in.
Into the U.S. Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you risk that, though?
Well, if it's, you know, if it's like a, I guess the way people say it, it's like in the Constitution or something like that, then.
Oh, yeah. You can, we all know that the current administration follows the Constitution by the letter.
I guess you're right.
By the letter of the law, absolutely.
Rudy Heredia has the logo.
He does.
Well, I mean, this all comes down to what you guys think. So just take a look at it.
Did he copy
all of us
on it?
He has a little creativity there. Yeah, you guys are on there too.
Oh, he put the Rams head on it. Is that the one you're talking about?
No, it's the one with my face, but with a sunset it's basically
instead I haven't seen it, but I like it better.
It's a sun.
Oh, I see it. I see it. Yeah.
Are we on the right track?
I love that. Yeah.
Mason, the one you just retweeted is good. The one with the phallic symbol ram's head and the two palm trees.
I just retweeted the one Slee was talking about, the Rudy Heredia one. It's got Alan's face in a sunset.
It looks too much like the Miami Dolphin logo.
You know what? It looks too much like the coronavirus.
That's not good.
It looks like the coronavirus.
Alan, what do you have coming? What do you have coming up on the big Sleewet Sunset Extravaganza tonight?
We have Russell Baxter, pro football guru. He'll come on.
I never miss a Russell Baxter appearance. No, you never know what you might
Wait a minute. What time is Russell Baxter on?
He'll be on at 6:55.
I got to clear my calendar.
Just don't even go anywhere. Just stay on the line.
I'll just stay on the line. Russell Baxter.
I know. I can't work 1 minute past 6:30. It's against
Den
my religion.
Denholm's going to come on as well.
Denholm.
Wow.
Now, that's a great book.
How did you get Dave Denholm on the show?
I started back in December.
Tell Denholm that we've already had both Tom Penn and Bob Bradley on this show.
Okay.
He'll be impressed.
I will.
We love Dave. Dave is a great guy. A great guy.
He gave me the cold shoulder since December, and a very,
very big booking for you. And then when's Curtis take over?
Curtis, again, I only do the first half hour. Curtis does from 7 to 8:30, and then I come back on. Curtis is done at 8:30. He clocks out, and then I do the last half hour.
Okay, got it. Okay, perfect. All right, Sleewet Sunset's next. Coming up tomorrow, Paul Rubens is going to join us. The Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, will join us.
Are we allowed to call him Pee Wee, or does he not like that?
He's going to go by – he'll do some Pee Wee, but he's going to come on the show as Paul Rubens. Plus, we've got Dan Straley on the show, and Dan is the guy that's playing baseball, an American who's playing baseball in South Korea and can sort of give us an idea of exactly the way South Korea has approached restarting the game of baseball. So that's coming up for you, too. I grant you it is not Dave Denholm and it is not Baxter – whatever that guy's name is.
Russell Baxter.
Baxter the dog from Anchorman. But coming up at 6:55.
We do our very best. See you tomorrow, 2:55 sharp. Sleewet Sunset is now 710 ESPN.